For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, it's something of a magical week in non-league. Even if your club season is finished, you surely must feel the magic in the air of non-league finals day. Whether you're in the mix at Wembley on Sunday as a Bromley, as a Wrexham, as a Littlehampton Town, as a Newport Bagnall Town fan, or just a neutral, you're bound to be excited. But even for those watching from afar via BT Sport, via radio, social media, websites, or just an old-fashioned newspaper report, it really is the highlight of the season. It seems years ago, well, I suppose it is, that the early years of this show on BBC London saw us constantly suggesting that what a great idea it would be if we hosted the FA Trophy and FA Vase on the same day. The new Wembley, with its extra set of changing rooms, did make that easier logistically, and the rest is history. 2016, the first time both games were played at the same venue on the same day. Morpeth Town beat Hereford 4-1, and then FC Halifax Town beat Grimsby Town 1-0 in the trophy final. Now it's a firm fixture on the non-league calendar, and a great day out for all who attend. So this week, a busy one in non-league. So we start with the non-league paper roundup this week. John Couch helps me go through a vast array of stuff, including that FA Trophy final and the FA Vase final and the National League playoffs, which get underway on Monday. Before that, though, on Saturday, we have the National League Step 2 playoff finals as we find out who will join Gateshead and Maidstone United in the promotion to the top tier for next season. Plus, we chat about some of the many managerial merry-go-round changes and swaps that have happened in this last week. Next up is a chairman of one of those clubs in Sunday's finals. Standing relaxed and ready, Rob McAleese is the chairman. Think that most players would want to play for and work under. They clearly do, as his joint management team seem to be on point and firmly part of the club and the thriving community at Littlehampton Town, hoping to make further history this season. Back on the show for the second time this season is a manager involved in one of those clubs playing in a playoff on Saturday. He switched clubs since he was last with us on this show earlier on in the season. And he's got his new club into the playoffs, making history already. And now he is just one game from leading the club to a return to the top level of non-league football. Paul Cox had the necessary impact on Boston United since his arrival in January. And with plenty of success and experience on his CV, he is confident of a result, but also has his feet firmly on the ground. Always a great interview, so please do listen on for that one. So plenty to discuss, plenty to talk about, and plenty to keep you entertained on this week's show. So without further ado, let's get matters underway. So for a change, let's start the week off down at Non-League Paper Towers. And a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. Now, I'm giving you top billing this week, not because it's a quiet one in non-league football, but because, well, it's a very intriguing one, isn't it? All the focus of the other media will no doubt be on the FA Trophy final between Bromley and Wrexham, whereas we've maybe given a slight bias to the FA Vase final on the same day this week. But that's not to ignore the trophy, a fantastic showpiece for the non-league game, and a match kicking off at Wembley at 4:15 on Sunday that I'm really looking forward to. What about you, John?
Yes, me too. Obviously you got the Hollywood aspect, haven't you, with Wrexham that they always bring, and the huge amount of fans as well. And I remember watching Bromley in the FA Trophy final three, four years ago, and they too brought down about 20,000 fans. So I think we were expecting a real healthy crowd, and hopefully we can have it'll be a nice day as well, and everyone can sort of mingle with all the Vase fans, and we can see if we can fill up Wembley as best we can and enjoy the day. I think we're on two cracking finals.
Indeed, and you say, of course, Bromley will be looking to avenge that 2018 final defeat and end the season on a high, of course. But Wrexham, they're going to love the day out at Wembley, but they're going to have one eye on the big league prize as well, I'm sure, and next week's National League playoffs.
That's right. I think that's the caveat for every for the game, really. It's not come at a great time for Wrexham. Obviously, it'll come on the back of a disappointing defeat at Dagenham, where you could argue that maybe one of them had one eye on trophy because that was out of on the trophy or the playoffs, as it was out of their hands with Stockport only needing a draw. They'll be going into it knowing that they've got potentially three huge games coming up that could define their recent existence. So certainly under the Hollywood duo, and everything will be geared to going up and to the Football League. But a day out at Wembley is not a bad way of announcing yourself on the stage of English football, is it? So I think that Wrexham element will always excite. And then there's Bromley as well, who haven't ended the season particularly well either. I think you could probably suggest that all of their eyes are on the trophy, but they've got some match winners in that team. And you look as far as Michael Cheek to know that his goals have taken Bromley into a new, all new dizzy heights, really. And on his day, he's a match winner. And as long as they've got people like him around, and the likes of Luke Coulson, they've certainly got boys who can. Who can give Wrexham something to worry about.
Indeed. And of course, we should, of course, congratulate Stockport County on achieving promotion back to the Football League. And Dave Challoner, of course, as well, on back-to-back promotions after Hartlepool last term. I mean, sad to see him go again.
I thought he's left again. Well, that's the first I've heard of it. No. It's sad for a non-league footballer to see him go. When Stockport brought him in, everyone thought it was a bit of a bold move, to say the least. But they brought him in, they backed him to the hilt, and look what he's done. He's followed what he did at Hartlepool to Stockport. He's back in League Two. I think it's safe to say he probably is a Football League manager here now. And I can't see many teams being able to lure him from Stockport into another season in non-league, but then again, I didn't see this coming either. So I didn't see him joining Stockport either. So he's what a fantastic achievement, for one manager to go back to back and win promotions. And I think with that Stockport team and the ambition that they've got, I don't think it will end there either.
Yeah, I was running through the clubs in this week's National League playoffs, and whoever wins, whoever departs a non-league game along with Dave Challoner for the Football League, it's going to leave us quite sad to see them go, because I'm not saying there's lots of non-league managers that are ogres or difficult to deal with, but I do think each of the managers involved this week are great guys who are missed not dealing with.
Yeah, they are great guys, and they also come from great clubs. Mm. And I think I think that will be a bit of a miss for non-league. No disrespect to Scunthorpe and Oldham, but non-league sort of taken on two more clubs at a difficult time, in a bit of crisis. But at the top end of that National League, you've got seven or eight clubs there who are on the crest of a wave, and you really wouldn't want to pick any team to go up. But you only have to look at the crowds that Notts County, Grimsby, Chesterfield, Wrexham, even Halifax, their crowds have been better than they have for many years. So people are coming back, and they're watching these big teams, and it's going to be a hell of a ride, I think, for the next couple of weeks for the playoffs. And whoever does go up, it is going to be a big miss for the. Only because they're going to be a big club and they're going to be well supported, and And they're going to be much revered.
Yeah. And we've got FA Trophy, FA Vars, Non-League Finals Day on Sunday. But then we've got the playoff eliminators in the National League. Monday the 23rd sees Notts County against Grimsby. I mean, that would be a headline game in pretty much of the two divisions up as well, wouldn't it? And Ian Birchnell, Paul Hurst, particularly Paul Hurst, he took Grimsby up to the EFL before, I think, the 2015, 2016 playoffs. I mean, there's experience oozing out of each one of these playoffs.
Yes, there is. And I think that's a fascinating tie because that's a tie of two real sleeping giants. Notts County, we all know what they're capable of. They've got their front three of Roberts, Rodriguez and Wooten are probably as good as anything that we've seen in non-league for a long time when they click. And Grimsby as well, as you say, with Paul Hurst, who helped get them through. And he's had his stint in the Football League as well, gone up into the Championship at one stage. He's back at home at Grimsby, and he seems to be getting the tune out of them as well. So I think that's a fascinating tie, that one.
Yeah, and then on the Tuesday evening, Halifax, FC Halifax Town against Chesterfield. Yeah, Pete Wild, Paul Cook. You know, I think both of them have managed in the Football League as well, which shows the quality of the managers that we have in the National League.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, Paul Cook, it wasn't so long. You know, you're talking about him being one of the most high profile managers of League One. He's not had the best of season personally. Paul Cook, he's found himself back at one of his first clubs, Chesterfield, and it's not gone particularly well for him. They have struggled to adapt without their top scorer Kabonga Shimanga, and that's been their Achilles heel. But they have managed to squeeze into the playoffs, and I think they'll be happy with their draw against the Halifax team, who on their day can beat anyone. We know that, but they are probably the unknown quantity of the eliminators, I think. I always get accused of writing them off, and I'm not going to do so again this time. But I think Chesterfield will look at this as a real opportunity to do something now, because we all know the quality they've got, and if they can click, I think they could be a tricky team to play. It's just whether the end of season form, what that does to confidence, but certainly Pete Wild is one of the best, well, in my opinion, one of the best managers in non-league football, and he's certainly someone with playoff experience. And Halifax has always been there or thereabouts for the last 2-3 years, and they'll be a tough nut to crack.
Yeah, and then you've got another two managers with great experience, great pedigrees, awaiting them in the semi-finals, which take place on next Saturday, Sunday. Phil Parkinson with Wrexham, that they'll take on the winners of Notts County or Grimsby. Phil's, I think he won a playoff final, was at Bradford in 2012, which is some time back, where I think when I first met him as a manager. But again, He's done so well in that limelight. It must be very difficult to be a manager of a club like Wrexham at the moment.
Yes, exactly. I mean, especially someone who's coming with no non-league experience. It's the records of big name managers in non-league is not the best. It's a different animal. And but Phil Parkinson's come in and he's taken to it. It did take him a little bit of time. Adjust to the game, but you only have to see what he's done with Wrexham for the second half of the season to know that to know he's the real deal. As I say, they are going to be the team to beat without a doubt. But I got a sneaky little suspicion for Solihull Moors. So I think they've just come into form at just the right time. I think one defeat at that last 20 or something. Mm. 3-0 win against away at Bournemouth on the last game of the season, I think, was a real statement of intent. And I think they're coming into the playoffs in form. They've got a good manager themselves in Neil Arnley, who knows the game inside out at that level. And they too got some real match winners. And they're a team who've just sort of come into it quietly. No one's talking about them, and they're just sort of going about their business quietly. But I think they could. like Wrexham, I think they could be the team to beat. And I think between the two of them, certainly if that's the final, then could be in for a cracker.
And it would be, you know, every week I find myself talking about Hollywood stories and that sort of thing. And the Hollywood story at Wrexham, that's great, brilliant. It really has put non-league on the map for people that don't normally follow non-league. But I mean, if Solihull Moors were to make the final and make the Football League, you mentioned Neil Ardley there. Obviously, when he was in charge at County, he lost in the playoff final to Harrogate. What was that? Back in June 2020. So he knows. He's been there. He's obviously with obviously Wimbledon Football League experience as well. But Solihull Moors really started as a football club 14 years ago, the same time that Hayes and Yedding merged. I remember we played a pre-season friendly in our first season for both the clubs when Moor Green and Solihull Borough merged. So to be challenging, you know, two games away from the Football League, what a story that would be.
It's incredible. And Solihull as a club as well, they themselves could have done it two years ago, couldn't they? They could have easily made that step up. They were come very, very close that season. No, it's a great non-league story, similar to the one that we saw with Sutton last year. You know, I worry whether those kind of stories will be seen again without a huge amount of money being thrown at a project. But Solihull Moors haven't really. They picked up some decent signings along the way. But if you look at the side that Neil Army's got there, there's no big superstar. You wouldn't have said, you know, the guy that stands out, Joe Sabara, who he's been knocking around non-leagues the lower league for a while. You know, all of a sudden he's an absolute revelation for him. And but they, as I said, they're a side with no big superstar names, but a good manager and a good football team. And they're going to take some stopping. But Thorough Wrexham, as you say, you're in Wrexham. It's the juggernaut, isn't it, of the non-league game at the moment. They'll have all the eyes that will be on the Hollywood boys, and it's great for the non-league game. But you have to say, if they didn't do it this year, what are they going to do next year? They're going to be
there is that pressure, isn't there? Yeah. So we've got two, before, you know, next week's non-league show, we've got two massive games which will put non-league on the radar, I'm sure, with all the other football at higher levels finishing off as well. So that'll be great as well. And then obviously, next weekend, after this show comes out, this will be the two Saturday semi-finals. Just a reminder for people that I believe they're going to be 12:30 PM kickoffs, so that'll be an interesting one. And then the final on the 5th of June at London Stadium in a 5 PM kickoff. But of course, before all of that, non-league's final day on Sunday. We've spoken about the trophy, but it also means the Vars. And we've spoken this week with the Little Hampton chairman, and previously on the show with the Newport Packnell Town manager. But I'd imagine that Sunday lunchtime seems a long way off for either of those teams, managers, players, staff, fans, if you're going to be involved in this game, because it's such a big game for clubs that have been playing at Step 5 this season to be playing at Wembley. And there's going to be a bumper crowd, because we know that Bromley and Wrexham are also going to take a lot of fans that will try and get there early.
That's right. I mean, I've been talking to the Littlehampton camp as well this week, and they're expecting 7,000 of their fans to make the trip up to Wembley. And for a small town like Littlehampton is amazing. You know, if you want a quiet afternoon at the beach, then Littlehampton's the place to be.
It's not called Littlehampton just for fun.
That's right. Yeah, that'd be very, very quiet. But what a day for them. One of the guys I spoke to was a guy called Tom Biggs, who's one of their midfield players. He's actually going to become the first FA staff member to play in the Vars, and his office is overlooking where they're going to be playing. And he was telling me some great stories. He said, "I've never thought I'd be playing, actually playing a game here, you know." So it'd be quite weird for him, but it's there's some lovely little stories out there, as there always is for FA Vars final weekend. And the players of Littlehampton and Newport Pagnell Town are actually, they're going to be fulfilling their dreams on Sunday, and I bet they can't wait, but it will go very quickly. I think I read somewhere there was a quote which likened it to the wedding day. You know, you plan and plan, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And, it's just a memory. But yeah, what a memory to have. You know, to walk out on the turf at Wembley. It was certainly my dream as a kid, and unfortunately, I never got anywhere near it. But yeah, these guys really are living the dream.
Yeah, and of course, I'm saying it's such an exciting week in non-league. Before we get to non-league finals day on Sunday, we've got the National North and National South playoff finals on Saturday. National North playoff final, again, probably reads like a football league fixture in a way. On Saturday the 21st of May, York City against Boston United, and two managers that haven't even been there all season.
Yeah, this has been the shock of the season, isn't it? The North final. Brackley Town looked to be absolutely flying at one stage, and you know, for them to get beat at home, Kidderminster as well. There was another team that, you know, with home advantage, you thought they would go on, but Boston and York have surpassed all, and they both come into it with a little bit of momentum, and that's proved to be fruitful for them. And all of a sudden you go into a game where, yeah, two big clubs traditionally, but as you say, haven't been anywhere near the title or promotion places all season, and now all of a sudden they find themselves on the cusp of something very, very special. And it's going to be a real shootout. You know, two big name managers as well. You know, two big clubs. Big characters, and it's going to be a cracker.
We're talking about the playoff to get in, from step two into step one, but you've got two managers there that have taken clubs from step one into the EFL.
That's right. I mean, it was only the other day actually that I was writing a story about Boston, and it dawned on me completely. Right, Paul Cox is manager of Boston. It was one of those ones that sort of. Every now and again, they escape your mind, and I say, "Oh my God, Paul, I can't believe Paul Cox is at Boston." And you think, "Well, it could be a guy like that in charge. You know, you've got every chance." And he was saying this week, wasn't he? The game at AFC Fylde, what a result that was. They had lots of injuries and suspensions and unavailability. They literally had to start all over again, plot a new formation, brought in players who haven't had much football in the last few weeks, and they come up with a system and a formation which is beaten probably one of the best teams in the division on their own patch. And you think, well, that's what you pay your managers the bucks for. And they've thoroughly earned their right to be there. Two very tricky away games, but all of a sudden, if they make it three, what an achievement that will be.
Yeah, and by contrast, whereas you know York were fifth and Boston seventh in the final standings, in the National South playoff final, we've got Dorking Wanderers who finished second and Ebbsfleet who finished third. And again, two managers, you know, Mark White. That'll be, if he wins, it'll be the highest he'd manage, and the highest he'd been chairman and the owner at as well. But Dennis Kutrib at Ebbsfleet United as well. What a story that would be for him coming from the fifth tier of German football during the middle of a pandemic to get his club back into the top tier of non-league football after they were relegated on what, 0.002 of a point or something, wasn't it?
That's right. Oh well, yeah. To say that season was crazy, and that relegation would have hurt them a lot, and they had to regroup after that. There was a lot to do. They brought in a manager who in this country or at that level. But what a job he's done, and he's brought them into a position now where they're fighting in a 90-minute shootout for a place back where they think they would belong. But they come up against the Dorking Wanderers team, who showed with a 3-0 win over Oxford City that they mean business. And they're going to be a tough nut to crack. Mark White too has come so close so many times. He will feel now that this is their opportunity to make his mark and make that step up into the National League. And I think these are the two next best teams in the division. And I think it'll be a hell of a scrap between two sides with lofty ambitions. And may the best one win.
Well, yeah, and that's the football this week. But as well, you know, everybody, I said to Matt last week, everybody up and down the land that's involved with a football club, it's the busiest time of year. And it's certainly been busy with plenty of managerial moves. Far too many to mention, but there's some big ones, some interesting ones. Ian Selly leaving Chertsey Town in the Isthmian League, and his role's been taken up by Wayne Carter, who was joint manager at Hamwell, who beat Chertsey in the playoffs.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was a bizarre one. So he wins the playoffs against Chertsey and then leaves the promoted team to go back down to Chertsey. Yeah, that was...
I've known Carts for a long while, so I'd imagine he's just such a gentleman. He obviously made a big impression on Chertsey Town. I think that's what it was.
The fact that he's going in on his own as well, maybe that was... that was a pull for him, you know. Like his own gig, maybe.
Yeah, he's worked so well with Chris Moore and their best mates at Uxbridge. But yeah, sometimes I guess you need to take the stabilisers off, don't you, and sort of go and give it a go. And we know, you know, Chertsey Town with Dave Hansen. I think he reminded me earlier on today. Is it 3 years since he won the Vars or something? Chertsey, a big club. Could still go further. Yeah, they pushed for the playoffs this year and only just missed out. So, a great way to cut his teeth as a solo manager. And then we've got another new team at Stratford Town, but someone that we know very well on the Non-League Football Show, where Dean Holdsworth going in with Gavin Hurren today.
I was really pleased to see that. I know Dean from his Aldershot days. I've got a lot of time for Dean. I wondered when he was going to come back in. he's been too far away. Although I know he's got a lot of work with the PFA at the moment, and you know, he has got a lot on his plate. But I wondered whether he wanted to cut his teeth in management again. And I think he's found a club which will give him the opportunity of doing that. Working alongside Gavin Hurren as well, I think that's an exciting matchup. And that's a good move for Dean, and I really hope it works out for him, because he's a great guy, good football man as well, and I think the fans will like him, because he's someone who is very good on the community side of working on the football club, and I really hope that works.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to work with Dean, alongside him on other things as well, and he's a man for detail, a man that cares, and certainly. Whatever he's doing, it means a lot to him. So, yeah, we do wish him well in that role. When we spoke a couple of weeks back, John, we mentioned about Steve McKim leaving Tunbridge Angels, and you said it won't be long before he's in a new job. Cut short and athletic.
That's right, yes. Yeah, it didn't take him long. I'm pleased for him. I wondered whether he may go in with another Step 2 team, but, you know, it is all about availability and what was open to him. Carl Shorten's a very famous club, a very traditional club, and that will give him something to get his teeth into. I mean, Peter Adeyemi's done an excellent job there, and he's given him a good foundation to work with, and hopefully he can come back into National League South with Carl Shorten and make his mark again. Pleased to see him back.
Yeah, and as that merry-go-round works, Peter Adeney is taking up the role at Mersham. He's in a job as well. Plenty of others to mention as well. Chris Wilcock has gone in at Stalybridge Celtic. And a big one, I guess, is former Torquay boss Chris Hargreaves coming in at Yeovil.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that was something that was mooted to us early part of the week. Chris is someone who's done a lot of work for us at the at the NLP. He's been sort of penning a few columns. He's been looking to get back in himself. That's a great job for him. That really is. And, you know, it could be a real match made in heaven. That say he's a West Country boy. And he was waiting for an opportunity like that. And, yeah, I'm delighted he's got it. He's got the opportunity to show what he can do. I think he'll do it. I think he'll do a great job there. But, you know, what a fantastic job for him to, you know, to fall at his feet. But I'm just really pleased that they gave him the opportunity of making his mark, because, he's someone who thoroughly deserves it.
Yeah. Another sort of late one that I saw as well, where John Macken's moved across to Witton Albion as well. There are plenty of other managers. And I guess this is a good sign in the middle of May, because it gives you an opportunity to be making the same phone calls that managers that have been around for a while have been making to try and get their squad together for next season.
Yeah, it's a good time to do it before they all go on holiday, because this is about the time where this is the 2-week window where you could probably just about get them before they all jet off. Before their new ventures, and we'll jet off to Magaluf and whatever, and you know, you don't hear, and then you get the quiet couple of weeks right at the beginning of June, where it all goes a little bit all goes a bit quiet. But this is really in managerial merry-go-round country at the moment, aren't we? It's been a little bit mad. It's tough to follow who's gone where, but it's certainly a good time. But chairman to make that move, you know, it gives the new manager a plenty of time to assemble his squad. They've now got two and a bit months, yeah, to sort of get their houses in order. And it's the perfect time to make the change and give your team the best chance of success.
Yeah, and I think there must be a social media template out there that I've not seen of all the players thanking the clubs that they've played for, and, you know, thanking the fans and that, which is great to see. It's great to see that engagement and that. But maybe we need to introduce a different way of thanking them, because I've read the same thank you with just various clubs and players' names changed far too many times already this week. One player that has moved on. I don't know. Do we still technically class Stockport County as a non-league club? I think we do until the AGM, don't we? The movement, Scott Holding going from Stockport to Watford, which is, again, is a great showcase of showing the talent at non-league. You know, whenever the national papers pick up stories like this.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great that these non-league boys do get the opportunity. Obviously, Watford have got a new manager, haven't they? The former screen guy, whose name is going to escape me, who's just gone in at Watford, and he's obviously, once he sees something he likes in Holding, and what a move for the guy. You know, he's coming into a big championship club. A lot's going to be expected of him. It's a big step up, but that's what non-league football, as you say, that's what non-league football is all about. We want to see our young talent make that move. Another one this week was Ollie Tanner. Mm. Who went from Lewis to Cardiff City. I mean, what a move that is. I mean, this is a guy that famously turned down Tottenham Hotspur, if you remember rightly, last year, and now he's got his move, and he seems very pleased with it. And at a big club like Cardiff City, and another opportunity for one of our top non-league talents to shine, and, you know, from step three to the championship is a big step. But I know he's a young man with big ambitions, and he'll be looking to get his try and force his way into that first team.
Yeah, and it's great to be celebrating on league, but there's always some negative stories or some sad stories. One this week which hasn't fully broken, and I'm not really sure what the full details are. There's a statement from the board of directors at Walton Casuals Football Club, but acknowledged that they've achieved their best position in the pyramid at Southern Premier South this season, but mentioned incredible challenges challenges off the pitch, and making it difficult to decide the future direction of the club as to whether the club under the current management can survive, or whether they need to offer the club for acquisition or to close the club. And it, the timing just seemed strange. They've said that they're going to issue another statement in the near future. A decision what the board have made suggested to me that they were looking for someone to come in with some investment. But yeah, Wharton Cash was another one of those clubs that haven't really got a ground of their own. So you wonder how the sustainable model is of running a football club at step three or even beyond.
That's right. I mean, Wharton Casuals, I think they're a club have been victims of their own success, really, over the last few years. But yeah, I mean, it was a strange statement, wasn't it? I can honestly couldn't tell you what they're actually were trying to get at. I think probably the same as you. I think they were trying to maybe alert potential new investors. Maybe I hope so, because it'll be a terrible shame for a step three club to have to push down the leagues, or worse still, fold altogether. It's a strange one at Wharton, because we've had discussions over the years. It's a club quite local to me, and a lot of people have suggested over the years that Casuals and Wharton and Hersham merge up.
It's never easy. I've seen it firsthand, and I'm still going through it.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to look into that and produce a Wharton FC. But as you know, it's not just as easy as words, is it? You know, there is a lot to it, but maybe it's a something in that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if there are any Netflix directors, producers, or commissioners, that, you know, maybe this is the time to do a documentary into the non-league world, because these are the things. You know, we all love football. That's the reason we do it. As, you know, we love but it can be so complicated off the field to run these football clubs. I feel their pain, because I also, you know, have got to know these guys over recent years playing in the same division as them. They're very nice people, and sometimes, as we know in this world, very nice doesn't always get you forward as a successful business. Anyway, I'm sure we'll learn more about that in the coming weeks, and see whether, I think if they were to drop down from step three, I think it then goes to the Leeds committee as to whether they decide who they bump up, who they save. Could it be Kingstonian? What a great story that would be. Luke Tuss, who sort of just missed out on in the last few minutes of the season to stave off relegation. Maybe that's a story to come. Who knows? But hopefully Wharton Casuals will be able to keep their step three status and carry on. I'm sure there's lots more to report this weekend too. I mean, what else can we expect in this weekend's edition of the Non-League Paper? And how are the votes going for the National Game Awards?
Yes, again, fine. Thank you. We've got quite a few in now. We've detailed each award, so we're getting some good votes in. Good candidates have been mentioned. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. That's on the on June the 14th. As for this week, we're a little bit man down, because Backpack Cox had a baby boy today. So
congratulations to all the Backcocks.
So he's somewhat out of action. So we are a little bit bare bones, but we've obviously got the North and the South playoff finals. We're looking forward to the promotion final. Obviously, we can only do it as a preview, but we look in depth to all four teams that are playing at Wembley on Sunday. And usual news, views, and interviews. We got we got a fair bit crammed in today, and we're looking forward to coming out on Sunday, and next stop then Wembley.
Indeed. John Couch from the Non-League Paper, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show, and we look forward to reading the paper on Sunday.
Thank you.
So Sunday the 22nd of May at Wembley Stadium, it's one ticket for two cup finals, it's non-league finals day at the National Stadium. A bumper crowd expected, a BT Sport coverage for those that can't make it. The majority of those, I guess, in attendance, no doubt going to be there for the National League as in the FA Trophy final. That one kicks off at 4:15pm between Bromley and Wrexham, but the savvy non-leaguer and most of the impartials, I'd imagine, are likely to have their focus a bit earlier on the FA Vars final, kicking off at 12:15pm. And as ever, there is only one man to turn to for stats and insight on the FA Vars. We're lucky to be able to grab him with his book, FA Cup 150, shortlisted for the forthcoming Sports Book of the Year Awards. But it is a pleasure and a privilege to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show with his at FA Vars fact file hat on, Mr. Phil Innes. Welcome back, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Hi. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be back on the show, my friend.
Well, it's good. I mean, first off, congratulations on all the plaudits. Not only Sports Book of the Year shortlisting, but also the FA Cup Media Pack. I understand the FA Cup programme as well. All those hours of commitment weren't wasted then.
Well, it's the definition of wasted, I suppose, is there. But it's thrilling. It's great. It's a great time. It's been a wonderful season, and it's culminating in fantastic coverage in terms of being in the FA Cup final programme, and also unbelievably in the finalists of the Book of the Year, Football Book of the Year. So yeah, fantastic season that's still got a little bit to go.
We always knew it was going to be a magical season, but it's a slightly extra magical sprinkling in the Phil Innes household. FA Vars though this weekend, yes. The FA Vars final once again. We've got new finalists.
We have, yeah. It's the one of the quirks of the competition, and probably one of its best features, is that we have two clubs in the final, Littlehampton Town and Newport Pagnell Town, that have not appeared in a Vars final before. And that has been the case for each of the last seven seasons, and also for every season the FA Vars has ever run. We've always had at least one club who is appearing in the final for the first time. So it's a fantastic competition to give any club a chance of a big day out.
Yeah, and you mentioned Littlehampton Town there. As winners of the Southern Combination, they enter the Isthmian League for the first time in their history. I think Isthmian South East on those restructures that came out. Which means that they're against former Vars finalist Cray Paper Mills. But I guess that also means that this is their last chance to win the FA Vars unless they get relegated again.
Well, I'd like to think that they'll be able to sign off with a victory. They've won the Southern Combination, and so we'll probably go into the game as favourites. But yeah, it's not uncommon, is it, that we see finalists in the Vars who are already promoted, and this is their last hurrah. So they will surely give it all to go out with a bang.
Yeah, and of course, Littlehampton Town, I think it was 31 years since they reached the semi-final before and got defeated there. So it'd be lovely to be able to find someone, if you're out there, someone that was at that semi-final 31 years ago, maybe with tears streaming down their face, that maybe we'll have tears streaming down their face as they walk down Wembley Way.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some Littlehampton fans around. I went down there in the FA Cup earlier in the season, and they were all talking about their FA Cup exploits against, I think, Northampton. Mm. But there was a couple of folks there who remembered their almost at Wembley past as well. So, yeah, there's definitely some people at the club who will be trying to get rid of 31 years of hurt and see themselves lift the trophy this weekend, yeah.
I've not heard a Littlehampton Town a song, 31 Years of Hurt. Maybe Badil and Skinner could step in there. There certainly is a charity single for Newport Pagnell Town. I've heard that doing the rounds, are very good too. You mentioned Littlehampton Town being the finalists. Of course, they beat Loughborough Students, who have been having such a great competition, 4-0 in the semi-final. So they really will be buzzing going into this game.
Yeah, they're on top form, aren't they? They've been a great team all season, and they're going to feel that this is their year. So it will be fantastic for them. But obviously, Newport Pagnell Town, they've done extremely well to get this far as well, and we'll give them as good as they get.
Yeah, and Newport Pagnell Town, they finished fifth in the United Counties Premier South. It was a tough old division, that one, this year. So they will be at step five again next season, and they beat Hanworthy in a penalty shootout in the semis.
Yeah, so there are quite a few penalty shootouts to get through all the way through the competition. I think they've actually won through 8 ties in total. So it's quite a lot of games to have to play in order to get to the final. So I think they started off in the second qualifying round. So I think they've had 2 or 3 penalty shootouts. But it was a great game against Hamworthy. I was there to witness it. And it ebbed and flowed in the penalty shootout. It could have gone either way. And it was great to be part of the crowd when the final goal went in.
Yeah, and so we do have only 2 teams. We've covered some of the stats. Anything else that we should be aware of to expand our knowledge, Phil, about this forthcoming FA Vars final?
Well, I think it's a time for reflection of what's gone on in the Vars overall throughout the season. It's been quite an interesting campaign. There's about, I think, 618 clubs all set off at the start of the season, and 92 of them have either equaled or set their best ever FA Vars run, which obviously includes the 2 finalists. So there's quite a lot of clubs who have made history for themselves this season. And talking of history, we've had the biggest ever margin of victory recorded in the competition this season when Hinckley AFC won 18-0 at St Martin's in the first qualifying round. And I think 3 players scored at least 3 goals in that game. So fantastic to set a new scoring record in the competition for Hinckley AFC. So we've also had Brockenhurst is a good example of a club who've had an amazing season. They've played in every single one of the 48 FA Vars campaigns. In the very first one back in 1974-75, they managed to make it all the way to the 5th round. And this season was the first time ever they've replicated that achievement. So having gone through 47 other campaigns to try and do the same, they've managed to get to the 5th round this year. So fabulous to see that even after all this time, clubs can still set their best runs in the competition.
Yeah, it's been a great season for Brockenhurst, a local club to be, and a great competition as well. The FA Vars, you know, it's been disrupted a little bit with all the restructuring and that sort of thing. But I think that's added to the magic, as you say. All those clubs that have created history in the competition this season is a great thing. And you know, I know lots of people. Mr. Dave Anderson himself that have won the FA Vars.
Did he?
Yeah, he's never told me. But also all the Yedinger FA Vars winners is the top of their list in football achievements. Even those players that have gone on and played Premier League football, on the back of it, it's still a major memory that reaching the FA Vars final and playing in it.
It is. I mean, there's only 4 domestic finals, I think, that are played at Wembley each season. So to be in one of those 4, it's a fantastic experience. And you know, it's not going to come round every season, as we've alluded to earlier. It's different teams every year. So, yeah, it could be just the one chance the players get when they're in the final to experience that kind of day out and have the thrill of playing at Wembley and have the opportunity to lift a trophy. So, yeah, it's a very special competition. And I call it the egalitarian competition because at the start of the season, any one of the 600-odd clubs that take part of it have as much chance as everyone else of being there on the final.
Yeah, and it's a great occasion on the 22nd. And it's not, you know, in recent seasons, we've had almost back-to-back cup finals in these competitions. We're trying to get them completed. Not such a short gap this year, but I'm sure your fingers will, and brain will have to start working again very soon because the new season's going to be fast upon us.
Yeah, well, everyone else has a downtime during the close season, but it's actually the busiest time for me to be able to make a note of all the changes to the league structures to then get an understanding of all the clubs that have entered into the Vars and to the FA Cup, and then towards the middle of July to then understand what the draws are as well to get on top of all that. So it's a massive amount to do just to get myself ready for the following season. But it's great fun to do. It's great to see new names coming through and clubs trying to, you know, move up from the Vars to the Trophy or to come in later in the FA Cup as they have done before for the first time. So it's always interesting. It's always fun to see what's happened and developed over the year.
And it's always interesting, always fun to talk to you, Mr. Filonet. So I suppose I better leave you to get your preparations ready. Obviously, when the FA Cup draws come out as well, this is, you say about the busiest time of year, but people have to understand that there's hundreds of clubs that you have to deal with. We've just spoken about a game that's got two clubs that you need the stats for, but the hundreds of stats that you need to prepare and make them different and make them interesting, which you always do. Hat tip for you on that as well. But thank you for all your help this season, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you again very, very soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tim, and thanks to everyone at the Non-League Show for your support, and it's always great to talk to you guys.
So we've heard the stats about Non-League Finals Day and FA VARs. Well, let's find out what it means for a club involved. Two games, one ticket at the National Stadium, and hopefully the fans of Bromley and Wrexham will get there early to support the VARs finalists, as I'm sure it's going to be one of those classic encounters. All very exciting if you're a chairman of the club, I'm sure. Isn't that right? Rob McAleese, chairman of the Littlehampton Town, welcome to the Non-League Football Show.
Good afternoon.
It is a good afternoon. And is it exciting? Are you excited? Are you ready for this game on Sunday?
I'm terribly excited. Like I'm a kid at Christmas. No, I can't wait for it to come.
And I understand that you're the first club from the Southern Combination League, Sussex League, to reach the final. I mean, that's a milestone in itself in a record-breaking year, whatever the result.
Yeah, it is. We are the first team to make it from this Southern Combination. Yeah, I think a few teams have got to the semi-final, but none have actually got over the final hurdle and made it to Wembley. So, yeah, we're the first, which is quite a proud achievement.
Yeah, and let me take you back to January this year. Saturday the 15th, a 5-0 defeat in the fourth round of the FA VARs to Newham Athletic, who were flying high at the time, so it was understandable. And then news begins to filter through about a potential player ineligibility. And I think it was almost like 3 weeks later by the time you found out you were reinstated and were going to be hosting Brockenhurst. Within hours, I think you had to host that game effectively. I guess that makes the wait until Sunday for this final seem fairly easy now.
Yeah, it does. And thanks for taking me back for that January day. It wasn't one of my best days. Yes,
what was it like, though? Yeah. Because you're all, yeah, I can imagine, really disappointed of going out of the VARs. And then that news sort of starts coming in. Do you get excited? Do you sort of like try and play it down or what?
Yeah, can I be honest? I honestly thought on the day I was so deflated. We performed badly. It's one of those days when you're involved in football that Lady Luck's went out shopping that day and deserted us. And she didn't sort of like even find us for a couple of days. But she eventually did find us. And, you know, when we did, we were like highly delighted. But I have a very good secretary and he's on the ball very quickly on this. And he said, oh, I'm not so sure they've got that right. And to be honest, we were sitting on the coach on the way back and I did think, oh, you know, I'm so deflated. I sort of didn't want to hear it, you know. When you lose a football match, you think you lose a football match. We deserve it. He lost on the day and we're all deflated. And then he said, no. He said, I've got to investigate this. And he did start investigating. And as you said, it took a bit of time. But when we think, you know, you think, oh, well, I might get back into it. A bit of time you feel we don't deserve it. But as time wore on, you sort of think, okay, yeah, they have broken the rules and we'll take our luck. And fortunately, Lady Luck come back from shopping, sat right next to me. So it was very good.
Hopefully she brought back a wrap present as well. Well, maybe we'll see on Sunday. That's a great tale because also, I've always said, of all the jobs that I've done at my football club, the secretary is the one that, when it gets, can you cover me for holiday? It's like, no, because it is a thankless task being a secretary, isn't it? You have to be so on the ball.
You do. Unfortunately, you know, Paul Cox, I'm going to, you know, say his name. He's absolutely excellent. He's top notch. And, you know, he got us back into the sort of VARs. And here we are a few weeks later and we're back, you know, waiting for the big one. So, yeah, he's top notch.
Now, so 618 teams in the competition this season. You could be the ones who win the competition having already been knocked out. Now, I love a story in non-league. I talk about stories that Hollywood should tap into non-league far more often. That's not a story I contemplated before.
No. If Hollywood want to take it up, that'd be very good. I don't know who would play me and who would play Coxie. It'd be very interesting who would actually play us. But yeah, we're welcome to offers from Hollywood. But yeah, it is an interesting story.
And again, with twists and turns, you know, it's always one of your players, Scott Kirkwood, has appealed a red card without success. He's going to miss the FA Vars final through suspension. I believe you're trying to keep him as involved as possible off the field as possible. But what a heartbreaking story.
It is a heartbreaking story. I really feel for Scott. He's one of these real nice people of football as well. He's a real genuine chap. Your heart goes out for him, really. You know, when I saw him the other day, you know, you can't help sort of like feeling sorry for him. And like I said, he's a really genuine nice chap. And he doesn't deserve it, but then the rules of the game are what they are. You know, we have to remember that if there weren't rules in it, that we wouldn't be going to Wembley Sunday, would we? So yeah, our heart goes out to him, and you know, we're going to keep him involved as much as we can, and hopefully we'll be winning the trophy and he can receive a medal for it.
Yeah, and one thing that I've learned from talking to other people about your club and the sort of people within the club, and that the unit's strong both on and off the field, and there's a great link between the dressing room and you guys off the field as well. You know, you've got joint manager Mitchell Hand and George Gaskin. I love the fact that I think Mitchell is also the coach of the under-8s, and George, well, I think you first handed him a player-manager role when he was 24.
Yeah, I did, yeah. He's an excellent communicator. He's brilliant, especially with the media. They're tactically switched on. George is has good contact with lots of good players, and they're a good combination, really. And I think in the years, because George was their manager a few years ago as well, and I think they've come away, they've played again, come back as managers again, they're a little bit more experienced and learned from their first time at doing the job.
Yeah, and first time in the final, 31 years since the club made the semis in this competition. Are there many that remember that semi-final appearance last day that are going to be there on Sunday as well?
Oh, yeah, there's a few of them. And ever since those 30-odd years that have passed since then, as they used to keep telling us about, you know, playing in the semi-final was in 1991. I'm glad we got past that really bit now, and we can move on and say, yeah, we got to the final in 2022. So we have to sort of like put that one to bed now.
Yeah, and it's going to be, you're the marigolds, aren't you? So thousands of marigolds expected at Wembley on Sunday. But for a seaside town, you're not the biggest of towns either, a lovely town. Does that mean that, yeah, you know, the tourists that would normally be down on a Sunday afternoon should avoid a visit to Littlehampton this weekend? There'd be going to be nobody there.
I wouldn't want to say avoid the actual town itself, because the local business might not be too happy with me. But as you say, it's a lovely town. All I'm saying is people do want to come and visit. You might find a place on the beach very easily, and you might find Harbour Park not so full as it normally is.
I like your style. I like your style. Already an historic season. The club are going to compete in the Isthmian League next season. A multitude of goals. 130 league goals in 38 league games. You've had two clean sheets in the last two rounds of the FA Vars. Success across many fronts. Increases in crowds. It's clear what the success does for a club. But going back to the local town, what do you think you can do for the town too if you're successful in the FA Vars at Wembley on Sunday?
Well, you know what success brings. It brings success all around to the local communities, isn't it? You know, the pubs around the town are a little bit more busier. The shops are a little bit more busier. People have got a little bit more of a smile on their face. And success breeds success, doesn't it? And you feel for the whole town, really. We're not just thinking, oh, it's all about the footballers and the committee at Littlehampton Town. We have gone on many occasions and said about how it brings like unity to the town, and it's a feel-good factor. In these times at the minute, a feel-good factor is so important.
Mm-hmm. And my limited local history knowledge of Littlehampton, I think the body shop that where the body shop was formed, headquarters and that sort of thing. I remember at the first ever Blue Peter lifeboat was at Littlehampton. I don't know if it's still there. And one thing I did find out this week actually, it's also the home of Britain's longest bench.
That's true. That is true.
You think it? Yeah. all goes well on Sunday, FA Vars winners to add to that. I mean, as a chairman, you'd have played a big part in that. How would that feel?
I do say we're, and my favourite saying is to all of us, whether you be on the committee and the playing staff, the management, I do think we're a bunch of mates running a football club. Sometimes we disagree, but we actually talk it over and try and get the right sort of solution at the end of it. And I feel we do that. And for me, I like to play my role down, really. I honestly feel I have one of the easier jobs, really. There's a lot of people that do a lot harder work than I do, and I'm just a sort of figurehead for it, the mouthpiece. And but I think, to be honest, I've got one of the easier jobs, and it will be quite an achievement for all of us, and we will enjoy it, you know, if we win it, and hopefully we do win it, and Sunday will be a very joyous occasion.
And I believe you on that as well, because it does seem that you are, I wouldn't say, we talk about non-league family, but you know, family tend to bicker more than you guys seem to. You all seem to be, you know, as you say, you disagree, you don't always see eye to eye, but you're all pushing in that same direction. I mean, you had some big attendances in the past two rounds. It must actually be quite nice not to have to worry about hosting all the fans and all the strategic planning that has to go with that. I'm sure there's plenty of stresses and strains ahead of it, but are you going to be able to sit down and watch this game and enjoy it on Sunday?
Yeah, I honestly think that. I think you're 100% right. It's on the quarterfinal and the semi-final. You know, when you get drawn at home, you take that luck and you sort of think, okay, we'll work with it. But it does mean a lot of organising and a lot of hard work. And then where you sort of like think, well, we made Wembley, you think, oh, great. And we sort of like step back a bit and let Wembley deal with it. There has been a sort of lot of organisation, you know, a bit more, to be honest, than I thought. But we're overcoming it and we're getting there for a club of their size. All the paperwork we got to do and dotting the I's and crossing the T's. We're nearly there now, and we're all starting to look forward to Sunday, which when I get in that Royal Box and sit next to the missus, and me and the missus are sitting there looking out on the Wembley pitch, I will have a big smile on my face.
I'll be looking out for that big smile. One last from me. What about next season? You step forward. The club didn't seek promotion in 2014-15 when it won the Sussex County League because of the cost and everything like that. Is the club ready now to meet the demands of travel and everything else that goes with it at that next level?
I think in 2015 when we won the league, I'll probably take a little bit of personal blame myself for that, really. I didn't think we were ready for it. Some people disagreed with me. I felt at that time it's justified decision. But I think this time we are a little bit more ready for it. We've worked on doing the lights and getting the ground a little bit more up to the standard we need. And I think, yeah, we'll take it on there and we'll give it our best shot. And I feel very confident we're going to acquit ourselves very well.
Yeah, and you know, as I always say, it's a bit like having children. You're never ready, are you, to go up to that next level? And
No.
No one ever tells you how all the hurdles you might face when you take on that job as a chairman. You say that you've got the easiest job in the world, but you've just admitted there you've taken the flak probably for bits and pieces. I remember you guys sort of putting their peel out there to get those floodlights done only 2 years ago, so you can make that step. And it won't have been easy over the last few years to run any football club, but it's days like Sunday that make it all worthwhile. Rob McAleese from Littlehampton Town, chairman, please do enjoy your day on Sunday, whatever the result, and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
I certainly will, and it's a pleasure.
So our next guest is also no stranger to success in the National League and no stranger to this show, but having only joined the club in January, he's had to work very quickly to be no stranger to his squad either. And as ever, he's done admirably well and sees him one game away from the National League. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Boston United, Mr. Paul Cox. Welcome back, Paul.
Hi, are you okay?
I'm good. I guess you are as well, because we last spoke in September. You were doing well at Kettering Town, which continued as well after we spoke. I wasn't the bad omen or anything like that. But when you left, I think many questioned it. As Boston were, slightly higher place, but you had Kettering just behind them with a game in hand. A tough decision to leave, I would have thought.
I think it was a huge decision. I think The first game I actually took over at Boston, Ketchum had moved into the playoffs places in Boston to eight. And so, the, you know, there was probably a lot of people questioning my sanity at the time. But look, you hear, you make those big decisions. And, you know, it's one that I stood by, even though, you know, there's a few ups and downs in the short time since I've been at the club.
Mm. It certainly appears to be the right decision. Those places didn't really change. You finished seventh, but you beat Kidderminster Harriers, you beat Fylde, and you become the first club to reach the final of these playoffs from that seventh spot. It's already history made.
Well, I think the players have to take an incredible amount of credit for that. You know, it has been a short sort of time since I've been at the club. You know, I inherited some good players, and we worked really hard to bring some good players in. If I'm honest though, Tim, we've been hampered by just a...
Looking at your injury list, has been...
Injuries, yeah, it's been awful. I mean, I think on Saturday, Sunday, that when we played Fylde, I think there were only 16 fit players. And one of them was Duxbury, who, as we know, had his face sort of smashed in at... you know, at Kidderminster, and it required plastic surgery and about 35 stitches in his face. So, you know, just all credit needs to go to the boys. You know, we've tried to work with them on mindset and trying to build up confidence. But the boys have adapted, I think, incredibly, you know, quickly, considering, you know, I took over, I think it was midway through January. So, yeah, the players deserve all the credit, but, you know, what I need to stress is, and what we try to get across to the boys is nothing's been achieved yet. You know, we've got to the final, but, you know, we want to go in there and try and win another football match.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're used to success, but take it from me, for someone associated with a football club that lost in the playoff final to a goal 5 minutes from the end, the season's not over till it's over.
No, look, and I think that's what we're trying to get across to the players. You know, to be fair, if you look back on Boston's history, they've been very unlucky, you know, in the playoffs in the past. And, you know, what I have said to the chairman is, you know, we've tried to change a mindset. We've tried to change a culture, you know, and hopefully we want to change an outcome. The players have worked extremely hard to get to this position. And, you know, I want them to really give it a right good go in the final. And, you know, trying to cement a place in the National League next year.
Yeah. You mentioned mindset there and the culture and that sort of thing. When you came in, it's a very different scenario from when most managers, new managers come in. You know, Craig Elliott had done so well for so long, the club was still challenging, some changes were needed. But had you ever come into a club in that sort of situation? Have you always sort of come in either under pressure or at the start of a new season? Was that a new situation for you as well?
It was a new situation for me. I mean, I went into Mansfield and they'd been in around the top 10, for the four or five seasons that were in the National League. But you usually get a job as a manager when a club's struggling at the wrong end of the table. So it's not very nice when a manager loses his job. But I always have the mindset that there's always something wrong. Mm. There's always something why, you know, our manager's unfortunately lost his job. So, you know, we knew we had good players and we knew we had players with ability. We knew we had players with experience, but there's always a reason why some of the results weren't going the way they should have done. So it was, the first couple of weeks, it was hard work getting to grips with, you know, the dynamics of what, not just what is going right, but what was actually ultimately going wrong, and cost, a manager his job. And, you know, I think it was a culmination of things. You know, when we look at, you know, the mindset and the, you know, the away form was really poor. And when this sometimes happens, Tim, I think then a little bit of lack of confidence starts to appear. And, you know, we needed to slowly build the players into what we know that they could become. So, you know, as much as people say, well, you're meant to work with players on the training ground, it was working, you know, with players, and this probably sounds funny, but, you know, working players in the classroom to build them up mentally again and to get them to believe that they are good players again. So it's been a baptism of fire. It's been, you know, we've had to do things really, really quickly. But, you know, credit to the players, they've been excellent. And, like I say, but we want to take that into this final game of the season now.
Yeah, this final game of the season, a multitude of experiences that you've got. Big games, I'd imagine, don't faze you. But can you prepare as normal for a game like this that means so much, and it really is sort of one roll of the dice?
Yeah, I'm a person, and I've been lucky enough, you know, as a player and more importantly, as a coach, manager, to be involved in a lot of big, high-profile games. And, you know, when we do talk, I talk to players, these are the games you want to be involved in. You want to be involved in noisy atmospheres with partisan crowds and, you know, something at stake to play for. This is what we're all in, you know, managers, players, chairman, supporters. It's what we're all in the game for. And, you know, we've talked about the lads about, you know, especially early on when I got there, the big games that we had was flipping the psychology and not fearing big games and not fearing, you know, partisan crowds, but to embrace it. And I think the boys, especially, I saw a massive change, well, not a change in the mindset. I saw a massive mindset about us when we went to Kidderminster. You know, it was 4,500 there. Very vocal supporters. I mean, it's nice that we've got, you know, we've always took a number of supporters away with us that, you know, are fantastic and always vocal. But, you know, I think the boys came through that game and just cleared a bit of a psychological cobweb, if I'm honest. And I think in both games, we've deserved to win. And, you know, I think that is not, it's nothing to do with technical or, you know, sort of physical performance. It's to do with, I think it's to do with the psychology.
And you do, you have to create that yourself, don't you? And we always talk about the stories behind the clubs in non-league and Boston, they've got many of their own. But to achieve promotion in this first season in the new stadium would be something quite magical as well.
It'd be fantastic. You know, every time I go to the stadium, you look around it and it's not just a National League stadium. It's a Football League setup now and still with one end to be finalised. So credit, you know, to the chairman who's worked extremely hard. And I think if you cut him in half, it bleeds Boston United. You know, so I think that a lot of credit needs to be, you know, to be given to him for the time and the effort and the stress that, you know, that you go for. But he's... you know, I find him very, very good to work with, and he's a very ambitious man. He wants the club to, you know, to progress. So look, it's you know, I think there's a lot of good foundations been laid. I'd like to now. I think there's a lot of pressure on me now to equal it out a little bit and put the success, you know, into the club, you know, on the pitch. That the club rightly deserves now with all the off the field structure, Tim.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's certainly heading in the right direction. Now, over lockdown, we all got to know Professor Jonathan Van Tam, that was a big Boston United fan. He even did a lot for non-league awareness, I think, with his anecdotes and sort of mentions of Boston. But I understand he can't be there on Saturdays. He's picked up COVID and he even missed his investiture for his knighthood this week. I'm guessing he's going to be able to watch a live stream at home. So it's almost like reverse. We spent the COVID times watching him giving us advice on the screen. Any advice that you can give our chief advice giver on how to enjoy this match safely on Saturday?
Yeah, I would say just get plenty of fluids, probably that of an alcohol-related Tim. You know, sit back and enjoy the game. You know, we want all the supporters, you know, whether they're coming up, they're lucky enough to get a ticket, or whether they're watching it through the live stream. You know, we want to try and put on a performance, and more importantly, it's more important that we win the game. And, you know, we want everyone to enjoy the occasion. These occasions for some clubs, you know, come around once in a blue moon. You know, to be fair to Boston, you know, they've been involved in the playoff, you know, positions, you know, for a number of seasons. But, you know, we want to, you know, we're desperate and hungry to, you know, to go on further now and try and cement that place in the National League. It's going to be tough because, you know, we're up against a team that's absolutely flying. But like I say, there's a different... I think we're a different animal at the minute, Tim, and I think we're approaching games in a different mindset. And more importantly, we're handling we're handling pressure so much better.
Yeah, I've taken some abuse over the year by saying that the National North has been the most competitive, the most difficult division across non-league this season. And I look at, you know, you've got clubs that were finished fifth and seventh in the final standings, but are in the final. And you've got two managers, yourself and John Askey, that have taken clubs from the National League into the Football League and then had Football League careers themselves. It shows the strength of the National North, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's very strong. You know, especially coming around the bend after Christmas, you look at some of the clubs, you look at the history, you know, you've got the Chesters, the Kidderminsters, the Herefords, you can keep going, you know, all the way through. You know, but any team, I think, on any given day could beat each other, you know, from top to bottom. You know, we played Gloucester late on, really good outfit. There's a lot of good footballing teams in this league, coupled with the infrastructures and coupled with, you know, good coaches and good managers, Tim. You know, it's a really good advert for the National League North. And I can't comment too much on the National League South because I've only seen, you know, a number of games this year. But I must admit that it's a very, very competitive league, you know, that we're in at the minute. And I think it's going to get even more competitive with the four getting relegated and the teams that are coming up.
Indeed, indeed. So Saturday, 6 p.m, win or lose, what's the plan?
I struggle to answer that because I'm like a manic depressive if we lose.
I wonder whether you're a talker or whether you're a, I know Steve McKim, manager, was at that Tunbridge Angels, just taking up the role at Carl Shorten Athletic. I remember him telling me that he's a cabbie, but he's not a busy cabbie, apart from on a Sunday when he's lost.
Yeah, it becomes a lonely place when you lose, Tim, as a lot of people, you know, will state. But I mean, my thing is that, you know, through the highs and lows of management, there's one thing that's consistent, and I'm going to go and hug my two daughters and, you know, make sure they're all right. And, you know, we'll probably have some food and, you know, I'll probably have a glass of wine or two. Either way, I'm quite good at keeping myself level when we've won. And I'm probably not getting too low, even though I stated the manic depressive statement. I'm probably good at not getting too low now. And you know, building for, you know, if it's a no, then we'll build strongly for next season. If it's a yes, we'll build strongly for next season. But, you know, right through it, I'll make sure the my daughters are smiling and they've enjoyed the, you know, the occasion and the atmosphere. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, it's a drug to us all, Tim, isn't it? But I've learned to balance it out a little bit more as I've got just a little bit older.
Yeah, I think maybe the all the bad bits sort of knock your edges off a little bit, don't they? So it is only in a game. There are far more important things ahead. And so whatever the result, preparations for the new season don't give you long for a summer break. Is it going to be a working holiday as ever this year?
Well, I've learned that as well, is that you do need a break. I think everybody needs a break. I think the players need a break. Me, I'll need a break. My staff will definitely need a break. They've worked extremely hard. You know, we'll try and, you know, refresh as quickly as possible, but it's hard sometimes, and that's a good thing with having good staff around your team. You know, I've got John with me. You know, that if I do go away and I need to switch my phone off, John, you know, he's been a manager in his own right, a successful manager in his own right, and he will, you know, he'll take the mantle until I return, and vice versa. So I think everybody needs a rest. To be honest, it seems to have been a long, long season this year. I'm not complaining because, you know, the previous seasons have been cut short, but I'm enjoying it. You don't want it to end when you're in this position, but, you know, ultimately Saturday, you know, we've got a huge game, and you know, we're very hungry to go and win that.
Well, as ever, Paul, we could talk forever, but I'm sure you've got some preparations organised for Saturday's player final. Best of luck in that. Thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Thanks ever so much, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and for everybody for listening. Since this... well, it's become part of the show where I end up praising Phil Annett's FA Cup backfiler, FA Vars backfiler. Those of you who follow him on Twitter will have seen that he's currently out of action due to an operation. So we actually had to record our piece this week in advance. But I do understand that things appear to have gone well. And I'm sure all of those listening wish him good health and hope he will be back to full fitness very soon. So get well soon, Phil, from all at the Non-League Football Show. The other question I'm often asked is, where is Dave Anderson? It's a question that's been asked over many times over the years, I'm sure, particularly when you go out drinking with Dave. But well, you may or may not be pleased to hear that he's also in good spirits and I think probably enjoying life out of the football hot pot for a short while. Hopefully he will also be back with us all very soon, and he does send his best wishes to everybody that listens and has reached out to find out where he is. But hopefully he will be back with us soon. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, also via Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites and many more besides. Stay safe, enjoy your football, enjoy the sunshine, or enjoy the rain if that's what you've got. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.